You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up yesterday, the Government Accountability Board voted to request funding from the state legislature for a voter ID education campaign. We'll talk to the director about what this education campaign might look like.
First, a few weeks ago, we talked about the Real UW social media hashtag, an outlet for UW students to share their frustrations with the racial climate at UW-Madison.
Our next guests have added a visual component to the Real UW movement. Regina Stieber and Shanar Raul join us now in the studio. They're both students at UW-Madison and are co-founders of the Real UW Visual Campaign. Regina, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, thank you.
And Shanar, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
Well, the Real UW hashtag has been gathering momentum. We've been seeing stories in the media about this, as well as the conversation happening on campus. So why did the two of you decide to add a visual component to this?
So our Chicano Latino class, our 530 class with our incredible professor, Revel Sims, focuses on Latino urbanism. And our professor tells us about how space is created and reclaimed. For our semester project, in lieu of writing a paper, he told us to find our own way to connect what we learn to our own experiences at Madison. There are 8 of us on this campaign, and it just became something bigger.
The hashtag we originally had came up with for this visual campaign was RUW. For 2 reasons, and for one of them was that it kind of presents the realities that students face on campus, especially students with marginalized identities, that this is the reality of their UW, and also as a way to reclaim space, saying that we belong here too. But then all of the racially charged incidents started happening, a lot of hate and bias crimes started happening, and the Real UW hashtag came out just kind of organically from the student body through social media, and so we joined on with that hashtag in solidarity with all the students who are experiencing microaggressions and hate crimes on campus.
And I wonder if you could describe it for us. People don't have it in front of them to see, but it's very powerful to read this as a tweet, and then you add the visual component where you have a student and the quote, and it becomes something even more. It takes it to another level. Could you describe what people will see and maybe quote some of what we see on these pages?
So we're looking at microaggressions, and we try to get the student either an ally or somebody who feels marginalized with their identity. We get them to hold a whiteboard with a quote or a statement, something that they've experienced, and we get a picture of them, and we post it on Facebook. And we've decided to use social media as our medium because we've evidenced the impacts of it in the last decade. It's the technological revolution. We've seen it through Arab Spring, and this is our own Wisco Spring of sorts. We're young individuals, and in our generation, we read listicles, we're on our phones, we're constantly connected. It's one of the best mediums to raise awareness, both because it's pervasive and it also fosters dialogue.
And can you share, Regina, some of the quotes that we see on these pictures?
Yeah, for example, some students wrote, "You're too light-skinned to be Mexican," or "It's because you're Asian," or "Where are you really from?" are like some examples of microaggressions. Microaggressions are really impactful on cognitively and psychologically on the student who receives them. Microaggressions are not necessarily overt, and they may not be intentional, but the impact is still very relevant and still there, and so we want to bring awareness to that.
What do you mean by the term microaggressions?
Yeah, so microaggressions are smaller manifestations of the isms, as you would, racism, sexism, ableism, and the impact of this ism has a huge deal in like conversations, and it makes people feel ostracized. It can make them feel unsafe or unwelcome. And so, yeah, microaggressions might not be intentional or overt, but they are covert and they are still very pervasive in the psychological mindset of the student who is the victim of that.
Would you say that some of these are more than microaggressions, that there is actual aggression going on in some of the things that are said to students of color at UW campus?
Definitely. The issues on our campus stem from UW as a microcosm, as a smaller version of America. We're saturated with neoliberalism, and the marginalization is somewhat overt, but people in Madison can be liberal but not liberal-minded, and a lot of people feel uncomfortable, and it's kind of a montage that was left in the 60s. Professor Sims pushes us to think creatively, and talking about issues such as race and sexuality causes discomfort, but we need to start pushing buttons and encouraging dialogue.
Yeah. Regina, do you have something to add?
Yeah, microaggressions are important because when people use these words or phrases, they become normalized, and when language or actions are normalized or accepted, they become a culture, and it really adds to the campus climate. And so people are socialized by the dominant culture, and so this campaign was meant to shake up that culture a little bit and start discussion to help people unlearn the culture that perpetuates the xenophobic attitudes and anything that isn't the norm, which is like heterosexual, white, male, cisgender, able.
Were people willing to be part of this project? I'm curious about how you find them, because there is kind of a sometimes a weird double shaming that goes on where it happens to you and you're embarrassed that it happens to you, mm-hmm. even though you're not the perpetrator. How eager were people to be part of this?
People definitely, the first time around when we put out the event, it was a little hard to get people to come in and join. But I think as time went on, more people, I think it was a collaborative effort that a lot of people felt support from their peers and came forward to share their story or their statements of solidarity.
Mm-hmm. How many people have participated so far, do you think?
It's been over 50. Mm-hmm. I believe our final count was around like 60. We did maybe 2 or 3 weeks of taking pictures, maybe once or twice a week going on Library Mall or going to the Chicano Latino Studies gathering and having people go there if they had time during the day. But we did get a lot of messages of people saying, oh, I wasn't able to come out. Can we meet up privately to take a picture? And so it just shows like there was a lot of support from the student body. A lot of people want to participate or show solidarity.
And a lot of people on Facebook have liked it at the page. Both and at the school and outside.
Is that how you get to see the pictures? You have to like the project on Facebook?
You don't have to like it. It's all public, but that's one way to look.
We're talking right now with Regina Sieber and Shanar Raul, students at UW-Madison and co-founders of the Real UW Visual Campaign. Real UW is the hashtag where students and faculty are sharing stories of racial bias on campus. And now there's a visual component that we're talking about today as well. And we started this conversation because, Shanar, you were talking about using this as a way to create space. How would you say that's worked out? What kind of space have you created with this?
I think we've created, hopefully we created a safe space for discussion, not only on the Facebook comments, but also in classrooms and people giving presentations. You know, we get messages on our Facebook page asking if students can use the pictures in the presentation. And so I think it's fostering dialogue, and that mm-hmm. in itself is important. Hopefully it's done in a safe way. We're trying to keep things very neutral, and we try to be very inclusive in the identities we included in our campaign, because we understand intersectionality is really huge with people's identities, and there's no hierarchy of oppression.
Even personally, I've had friends who normally weren't very comfortable talking about such issues. They feel more comfortable engaging in dialogue or asking those questions and they want to clarify. They don't want to be ignorant. And that's great.
Have you and the other founders faced any backlash? Because I know there has been backlash against students who use the Real UW hashtag. Have you seen that?
Yes, we have. There are some ignorant comments, but I think it just kind of exposes the amount of ignorance that is out there and how much work we still need to do. There's a lot more education that needs to be had. And we're working towards the next phase of our campaign and adding more education on microaggressions.
Definitely. I think there's a lot more support, we'd like to think. And some of the comments we've noticed are generalizations sometimes. And like Regina said, it definitely does show like how the long way that we have to go. We don't want to glorify or vilify or demonize one group over another, because that doesn't make us better than the people who target us.
There has been an ongoing conversation since the hashtag conversation began about how responsive the university has been. Has it been owning up to the problem? Has it owned the problem and taken adequate steps to change? What is your opinion on that? Regina?
Well, we are collaborating with the administration now. I'm not sure if you saw an article came out yesterday, I believe, saying that the chancellor has agreed to implement cultural competency for faculty this next coming semester. I think that's a huge step, and I think they really felt the pressure from the students, especially through social media and through letters and through marches and protests and walkouts. A lot has been happening on campus, and I think they really felt the pressure, and they are now taking action.
What would that cultural competency be? Do you know?
Well, personally, there's a lot of talk about an ethnic studies consolidation where they would take all of the individual ethnic studies programs and make them into one big ethnic studies program. And that we don't really support that just because we like the ethnic studies being different because it helps not only those who are marginalized but those who are not, because students need a safe space. But also these classes, we're in the Chicano Latino Studies program, and our classes are taught by experts, and they know their field so well, and it's evidence of, and they give us evidence of why students need historical context, and so they know what they're saying is hurtful, and cultural competency provides people the ability to provide a better service.
And just very briefly, as we wrap up, what is next, and what are your hopes for this?
So we're in the process of creating a website right now, and we actually conducted a survey, and we were conducting research throughout our entire campaign. So we have the results from that, and we are putting together a website and going to put our research out there, and we're starting to analyze it. It's actually very interesting, our results, and we're going to, you know, just give it to the university and provide it to whoever, you know, may come in handy for. Hopefully they can maybe use it with the cultural competency module that they're creating, but we have been in contact and we're collaborating with administration to include our campaign with the competency that they're creating.
Well, Regina and Shannar, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Regina Stieber and Shannar Raoul are students at UW-Madison and co-founders of the Real UW Visual Campaign.
Coming up, we'll talk about the news that the Government Accountability Board voted to ask the state legislature for voter ID education funding.